It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Tendekai, Alan Tendekai Marimanzi, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, my brother.
Thank you very much. So we'd like the context now. Jesus' parables are integral to understanding the full scope of his mission, his ministry, his teachings. And so it's important for us to understand the context. They serve as a powerful vehicle for conveying spiritual truths and illustrating the principles of God's kingdom in ways that resonate deeply with listeners. Well, I suppose, listeners in his time. But because we are not living in his time, we may need to be given a bit more context of what was happening in his time for him to say the things that he says, to use the parables he used, and so forth. And that's what we're talking about today. Let's talk about that context. How do Jesus' parables reflect the central themes and motifs of his overall message, including the kingdom of God, including the repentance, forgiveness, and discipleship?
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. So, Jesus' parable reflects the central themes and the motif of his overall message, namely the kingdom of God, repentance, and forgiveness, like you have said, in the following ways. Firstly, the kingdom of God. The parables often centers around the kingdom of God, illustrating its nature, the values, and invitation. They emphasize that the kingdom is open to all and challenges the world values and systems and calls for a response of faith and allegiance. Secondly, I would like to talk about repentance. Many parables portray repentance as a necessary response to the message of the kingdom and a prerequisite for entering into a relationship with God. The parables highlight the urgency of repentance and the joy of reconciliation and the transformative power of God's forgiveness and grace. Number three, forgiveness. The parable often emphasizes the radical nature of forgiveness, challenging societal norms and expectations. Examples are the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35, and the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. Then number four, discipleship. Jesus' parables frequently offer insights into qualities and attitudes of true disciples, such as humility, faithfulness, stewardship, and readiness for the master. Then maybe last point will be transformation and renewal. The parable of the mustard seed in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 to 32, and the parable of the leaven in Matthew chapter 13, verse 33, highlight the theme of growth and pervasive influence of the kingdom in transforming individuals. So one can see that the motif and themes in the parables challenge listeners to respond to the prompting reflection, their decision and transformation in their relationship with God and their interaction with others. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So can you identify specific parables, for example, in Funis, that directly address Jesus' identity as a son of God and the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies?
Okay. So there are specific parables that directly address Jesus' identity as the Son of God and the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. To mention but a few, I will start with the parable of the wicked tenants, which we find in Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 to 34. In this parable, Jesus tells the story of a landowner who plants a vineyard and leases it to tenants. When the landowner sends his messenger, his servants, and eventually his son to collect the fruits, the tenants mistreat and kill them. Mm-hmm. The parable highlights the rejection and eventually crucifixion of Jesus by the religious leaders, and indicating his divine identity and the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Secondly, the parable of the wedding feast in Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 to 14. Mm. This parable points to the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah and the establishment of his God's kingdom. By identifying himself as the bridegroom, Jesus is proclaiming his divine identity and the fulfillment of God's redemptive plan. And lastly, the parable of the vineyard workers, which we find in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 to 16. Jesus presented himself as the landowner who brings justice and generosity. Jesus is emphasizing his role as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies and embodiment of God's redemptive work. These are parables, these parables explicitly and implicitly addresses Jesus' identity as the Son of God and the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. They provide insights into the divine nature of Jesus, his mission as the Messiah, and his role in establishing the kingdom of God.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay. So in what ways does Jesus' parables serve as both invitations to discipleship and challenges to the prevailing religious attitude and practices of his time?
Okay. Let me begin with invitation to discipleship in answering the question. So, the invitation of Jesus to discipleship is inclusive. Jesus' parables often conveyed the inclusive nature of God's kingdom and extended an invitation to all people to become disciples. This challenged the exclusive mindset of the religious establishment and invited the people to embrace a new way of thinking and belonging. And secondly, radical transformation. The parable portrays the kingdom of God as a realm where values such as love, mercy, forgiveness, and justice were central. The parables invited individuals to become disciples and actively participate in the renewal of their lives and society. Mm. Now I'll move on to the challenges prevailing in religious attitudes. On this one, the first point will be, his parables confronted hypocrisy. Jesus' parables often confronted the hypocrisy and self-righteousness of the religious leaders of his time, right? And secondly, critiquing legalism. Many of Jesus' parables challenged the legalistic approach to religion that was prevalent at that time. These parables called for a shift from legalistic mindset to a relationship-based approach with God. Then I'll move on to number three, which will be rethinking priorities. Jesus' parables invited listeners to let go of their attachment to worldly possessions, power, status, and instead prioritize a life devoted to God and his purposes. They extended an inclusive invitation to all to become disciples and participate in God's kingdom while simultaneously critiquing hypocrisy, legalism, and exclusivity. They continue to inspire and challenge individuals today, inviting them to embrace a transformed way of life and participate in the ongoing work of God's kingdom.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you discuss perhaps the relationship between Jesus' parables and his miracles, his signs, and other demonstrations of divine authority?
Okay. You're talking of Jesus' parables and miracles?
Yes.
Okay. Let me get to the question. All right, I'm there. So to begin with, just parable and miracles. Let me begin with parables. Number one, parables were earthly stories with heavenly meanings, allowing Jesus to communicate deep spiritual concepts in relatable and accessible ways. Parables revealed the character of God, the principle of his kingdom, and transformative power of his message. On miracles now, miracles and signs, Jesus' miracles and signs revealed God's kingdom breaking into the present reality, displaying Jesus' ability to exercise control over nature, over sickness, and even over death. These extraordinary acts were not merely display of his power, but were acts of compassion, healing, and restoration. The miracles authenticated Jesus' identity as the Son of God and confirmed the truth of his message, right? And the relationship between Jesus' parables and miracles can be seen in two ways. Number one, that will be illustration. Miracles often served as illustration or visual aids for teaching conveyed through parables. And revelation, miracles and science provided tangible evidence. That's number two. Revelation, miracles and science provided tangible evidence of truth proclaimed in the parables. They validated Jesus' authority and the divine origin of his teaching. The parable provided the context and depth of understanding for the miraculous signs, while miracles confirmed the truth and authority of the parables. So together, they formed a compelling, transformative message that continues to even to impact life even today.
Final question, Funes. What insights do Jesus' parables offer into the nature and character of God himself now, particularly in terms of his mercy, God's compassion, and God's justice?
Okay. So Jesus' parables offer profound insights into the nature and character of God, revealing his attributes of mercy, compassion, and justice. The examples are as follows. Now, let me begin with mercy. In the parable of the prodigal son, a wayward son squanders his inheritance, but is welcomed back by his father. This reveals that God's mercy is not limited by human standards, but is extended generously to all who seek reconciliation. Then on compassion, the parable about the Good Samaritan teaches about God's compassion. It extends to all, regardless of social and cultural barriers. Then I'll move on to justice. The parable of the wheat and tares conveys the idea of God's justice, where God's justice will prevail in due time, ensuring that evil will be accounted for and the righteous will be rewarded. So it is at the throne of God where they say justice and mercy kissed each other. Well, back to the question, these parables invite individuals to understand and experience these attributes personally and to reflect them in their own lives.
I see. All right, Funes, we're going to leave it right there. Thank you very much for your time, for your insights, for your understanding, and your patience with us. Really appreciate you answering our questions. Looking forward to more of this understanding about the parables of Jesus tomorrow. Until then, have a wonderful day, Funes. Thank you very much for your time.
I'm humbled. Thank you so much. God bless you.
That is Pastor Alan Tendekai Marimandi talking to us about the very context, the very variety of contexts in which these parables happen. We're moving on now. It's 27 minutes after 2. We're going to take a piece of music and come back and give you the lesson study for today. I do understand I played and I stopped it, the music of Legato, but we come back and give you that very same song and then we will give you the lesson study at 30 minutes, just about 30 minutes after 2. You're listening to Adventist World Radio. We're live with me, Nayelu Pondor, until 3 o'clock.